Well, hello everybody and welcome to Live with Lon today. We are so glad to have you with us. And today we are going to continue doing what we do every week here on Live with Lon. We're going to study, say it with me, the Bible. Come on, the whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. And then we're going to apply it to our life. Wow. What a great thing to do, studying God's Word the way it's supposed to be studied. Now, let's go to the Bible. Here we go. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the privilege of studying the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given me for over 50 years now to teach the Word of God. What an incredible privilege, Lord. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for that great privilege. And thank you, Lord, for opening a door where I could get the funds I needed to take care of my family through teaching the Word of God and leading a church for the glory of God. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for that privilege you've given me. And now I pray that you would open all of our hearts to your Word. Illuminate our hearts by the Holy Spirit, for as the Bible says, it must be spiritually discerned. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help with that, to enable that. So God, do that for us today, and may our time in your Word be life-changing today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. Now, we are in the Gospel of John. We're in that special section between the Last Supper and the events of the Garden of Gethsemane, his betrayal by Judas and his arrest, the Lord's, where in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 of John's Gospel, we have Jesus' high priestly prayer for us as believers and so many other important things that he told his disciples that are not repeated in the other Gospels. So we're working our way through those four chapters. So in your mind, imagine us on hold, hovering right between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane and studying the words of the Lord Jesus that he delivered in that interval. So, we finished chapter 14 last week. We're ready to start chapter 15. New King James Version of the Bible. Here we go. Chapter 15, verse 1. I, Jesus said, am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the one that takes care of the vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, my Father, takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, we want to stop for a moment and say, what's Jesus talking about here? Well, he's using an allegory. He's using a word picture to help us understand spiritual truth. Instead of vine, we could say tree trunk. And we are the branches. We all understand this in America. We are the branches that are attached to the trunk. And so what Jesus is saying is that he is the trunk that provides the sap that then flows out into the branches and causes them to leaf out and bear fruit. Acorns, magnolia flowers, whatever kind of tree it is. Are you with me? Peaches, whatever. So, Jesus says here that if we don't bear fruit, the Lord, the God the Father, cuts us off. I mean, that's what you do. I have to have every year or two, I have to have my friend at JL Tree Service. I'm going to give him a shout out, Sean Lewitt. and his parents. John Lewitt used to own the company before Sean. Sean went to high school with my oldest son, James, and they played ball together, baseball. And if you need a tree service and you don't have one, try JL Tree for John Lewitt here in Fairfax. He's the greatest. But anyway, I have to have them come over from time to time and prune my trees. When they go up in them, and one of the first things they do is they cut out the dead wood and they take it away, because all the dead wood does, it's a waste. And so the tree gets stronger when the dead wood is cut away. So that's what Jesus is talking about. If a person is dead wood, my Father cuts them off from the trunk and takes them away and burns them. If they do bear fruit, if there are branches that are leafing out and bearing fruit, let's watch this. The Father, God the Father, prunes them. He just doesn't leave them alone. He prunes them. He cuts them back, as only he, as a vine dresser, would know how to do. There's a skill to this. He cuts them back so that when they leaf out the next year, they will leaf out with even greater power and vibrancy and even more fruit. You know, I've got some crepe myrtles on the side in my front yard. Really pretty trees. They leaf out with those beautiful little purple flowers. Mine leaf out very late. They come out in late July. They don't leaf out earlier or bear fruit earlier. I don't know why. Maybe it was the variety that we bought. But they grow like Topsy. Every year we have our tree service cut them back to the point where I'm like, they killed the bush. They killed the bush. They cut so much of it off. And then the next year, the crazy thing leafs out with even greater vibrancy than it had the year before, to the point that they're the healthiest things you ever saw in your life. But every year, we cut them back to the point where they look dead, like they're not even going to survive. But a good arborist knows exactly how to prune the branches so that they bear more fruit. That's what the Bible says God does to us. And how does he do that? Well, there's not just one way, but he uses suffering in our life and trials in our life and difficulties in our life and successes and joys in our life to humble us, to keep us from getting too big for our britches, to make us understand our need to rely on the Lord more. We'll get to that in a minute. To bring us to a place of greater lordship of Christ in our life and greater surrender. Yeah, because you don't just let the plant leaf out and leaf out and leaf out. You prune it so it leafs out more effectively and more powerfully. This is what Jesus is talking about. So the struggles in your life and my life, the trials that he sends, the heartaches, the joys, the successes, are all part of an integrated plan by God to cause you and me to bear more fruit. But notice, no matter who you are, if you really know Christ, if you're really attached to the trunk, and you're alive in Christ, you're going to bear fruit. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You're going to bear fruit. And if somebody's not bearing fruit, then friends, there's reason to wonder if they really know the Lord. Now, we'll talk next week about what kind of fruit we're talking about here. We'll get to that because the Lord's going to discuss that. But this is just a little preview of what we're going to talk about next week. What kind of fruit are we talking about? And so next week. Okay, let's go on. Verse 3. Now you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus said, the kind of pruning I'm talking about and the kind of leafing out and producing fruit I'm talking about is not so that you can earn your salvation or not so that you can be worthy of your salvation. You've already got your salvation, he says to the disciples, because you've obeyed and listened to the gospel and the words that I've shared with you about how to have eternal life. We're not talking about salvation here, Jesus says. We're talking about Christian living here, okay? Verse 4, abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. How do you do that? Well, we share the same sap. That's how we do it. When a branch is abiding in the trunk, and the trunk is abiding in the branch, how's that happening? The trunk doesn't somehow shrink itself down and invade the branch. No. The sap is the common denominator that flows through the trunk and into the branch and then back. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's the one that flows through the trunk and into us and bears fruit through us. More on that next week. And that is what binds us together with the trunk. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, the trunk. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Now we understand this. You take a big branch off your tree, cut it off your tree, put it on the ground, throw some water on it every day, sitting there on the top of the ground. Is it going to bear fruit? No. It's going to shrivel up and die. And no fruit's coming out of it. Why? Because it's got to be connected to the trunk. The trunk and the sap that the branch gets from the trunk is what produces the fruit. And when you cut the branch off from the trunk and from the supply of sap, then it can't produce fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 5, I am the vine, I'm the trunk, and you are the branches. Okay, let's not get this wrong now. I'm the trunk. You're the branches. Here we go. He who abides in me stays connected to me and the sap, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do, say the next word with me, nothing. This is a very famous passage from John's Gospel, this passage here. And it has amazing spiritual truth in it. It's another example of Jesus using the simple things of our world to teach complex spiritual truth. And what this passage is teaching us is that the sap is the secret to having fruit. The sap is the secret to being able to produce fruit. And the sap, who is the Holy Spirit, is only available if you're abiding in and connected to the trunk in a living, real way. And when we're abiding and connected to the trunk in a living and real way, and we're letting the sap flow through us, the branch doesn't have to try hard to produce fruit, does it? Does the branch, you ever see a branch going, boop, out pops a peach? No. Or, boop, out pops an apple. No. The branch doesn't work hard. The branch doesn't have to strain. It's natural, normal, easy. Why? Because the sap is doing the work. The branch is just letting the sap flow through. It's the sap that's doing the work. Are you with me? And the same thing with you and me as followers of Christ. We don't have to walk around trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life. More on that next week. Or walking around trying to produce the fruit of evangelism, or the fruit of discipleship, or any. No, no. If the Spirit of God is flowing, we're going to produce that, all that fruit, coming from the inside out. Because that's what the sap does. So, without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Because without me, you don't have any sap. If you don't have any sap, then you can't produce spiritual fruit of any kind of lasting impact. The ministry is supernatural. Serving God is supernatural. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is supernatural. You and I can't produce all those things. Why? Well, because we're not supernatural beings in and of ourselves. We produce those kinds of fruit because the supernatural Holy Spirit is supernaturally flowing through us and supernaturally producing fruit that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. You're with me. And without the Holy Spirit, we get disconnected from the trunk. Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you can do nothing of lasting spiritual impact and value. Because you're not a supernatural being and you don't have that capacity. You can try, but it won't work. Okay, now, that's as far as we're going to go in the passage, because we're going to stop now, and we're going to ask our most important question. So are you ready? All right, here we go. Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked a couple weeks ago about God giving us the Holy Spirit. One of the many ministries of the Holy Spirit being that he opens our mind to spiritual truth. But today we're seeing another unbelievable ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that produces fruit, more next week, in and through us. Wow, wow. We don't have to produce it ourselves. He does it. All we got to do is let him flow. Now, as Jackie Gleason says, how sweet it is. Come on, say it with me. How sweet it is. Oh, yeah. That God does this. And I want to focus for the take home today on the very last phrase that Jesus used here in verse 5. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, Jesus doesn't mean that we can do nothing physically, that we can't cut the grass, that we can't fix a meal, that we can't take out the trash, that we can't, change the oil in our car. No, he doesn't mean that. Of course we can do those physical things, but spiritually, in terms of spiritual impact on our world and on other people's lives, we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit, the sap that comes by being connected to the trunk, the Lord Jesus. Without that connection, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Why? Because if you're not connected to the trunk, you have no way for that supernatural sap to flow through you. You with me? And this goes along with what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at that. Verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, those of us who are connected to the Holy Spirit, judges all things, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. What Paul is saying here is exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying, that spiritual truth must be spiritually discerned and must be taught to us by the Holy Spirit, who knows the things of God. We don't teach what man knows when we declare spiritual truth from the Bible to people, and they think we're foolish, Paul says. They think these things that we teach are stupid, but they're not. It's just that they are higher spiritually than a man, a natural man or woman, meaning an unbelieving man or woman, is able to understand. And this is why, if you preach at a church, or you, let's just say, if people out there, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and people out there who are filled with the Holy Spirit are listening and you're teaching the word, makes sense to them. But if there's an unbelieving person sitting out there, so often they're like, unless the Holy Spirit's working with their heart right at that moment, so often they're like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Much more, I don't agree with what he's talking about. The whole thing sounds stupid to me. Why? What does Paul say? The natural man, verse 14, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so this is what Jesus is telling us, that the spiritual enablement for us to be able to produce fruit unto God, for us to be able to live a fruitful personal life, for us to be able to have produce fruit in the work of the gospel and the work of ministry, seeing people come to Christ, seeing people grow in Christ, that's all a function of being connected to the trunk. And if you're not connected to the trunk, then Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Folks, how important this is, in conclusion, for us to know, how important this is for us to believe, and it's so important for us to orchestrate our life around this truth. When you go to have devotions with your children, which I hope you do, or your grandchildren, we need to pray first and say, Lord Jesus, without you, I can do nothing. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and empower this children's Bible story to their life. When we go to share Christ with someone, we need to be praying, Lord, I can't explain the gospel to this person. Only you can make them understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit has to work through me and convict them. So, Lord, you have to be the one who makes them see their need of Christ and come to you. When we go to preach the word, the Lord says, it'll never make an impact on people's souls and on their spirits unless I'm preaching the word through you. You need to be surrendered to me and asking me to fill you so you can preach the word with power, or to lead a Bible study, or to teach a Sunday school class, or to lead a small group, or whatever it may be of any kind for the Lord Jesus. We first have to go to the trunk, acknowledge our dependence on the trunk and its sap for us to have any effectiveness at all, and then allow the sap to flow through us. When I was at McLean Bible Church, we had a wonderful ministry that was led by two of my very closest friends, Leo and Lisa Ansoliaga, where they would, on the weekends, they would go out on the streets down in, well, different places, in D.C., in Northern Virginia, wherever, and go out on the streets and hand out tracts and try to talk to people about their relationship with Christ. And they would often ask me, after the Saturday night service or whatever, just before they went out on Saturday night, to come down and pray with them, commission them to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in their own power. And I would do that. After Saturday night service, I'd go down before they left and pray with them. Now, that was wise. You know, big shout out to you, Leo and Lisa. That was so wise. Because going out on the street means nothing if you don't do it in the power of the sap. And so that's what we would pray for the Lord Jesus to fill every person there and the Lord Jesus to empower every person there for the work of the gospel that night. That's what people who understand John 15 do. And that's what a preacher should do. I would stand behind stage, and before I walked out on stage, I would pray, Lord Jesus, this has got to be you, not me. So fill me, use me. I would pray that at home while I was working on the sermon. Lord, fill me today as I type this out. I would pray it behind the curtain as I was getting ready to go out and preach. Lord, fill me, flow through me. That's the only way this is going to produce anything of lasting spiritual value. And that should be the way we approach everything in our life. Thanksgiving. Lord, I'm going in here to have Thanksgiving meal with a bunch of people that are lost. Lord, fill me. Let the sap flow through me. Even when I'm not aware it's flowing through me, let there be a light in my eyes, and let there be a boldness in my countenance, and a shining in my spirit that is unmistakable and really resonates with them that I've got something they don't have, and I can help them find it. That's letting the sap flow through you. You may not even realize he's doing it while you're there at the meal. But that's the kind of prayer we need to pray. Lord, at Christmas, we're going to be around a lot of people that are lost. Fill me, Lord Jesus. Let the sap flow through me. Okay, you got it? You got it. You're smart people. You understand. And how often, sadly, we go into situations either where we need personal spiritual fruit to be real, or we need ministry spiritual fruit to be real. And we don't stop and pray and make sure we're connected up. We don't make sure our sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Get the channel open. Unclog the pipes spiritually so that the Lord, the sap can flow. We don't do that. And then we wonder why we don't see the kind of power and the kind of results that we'd like to see for the Lord. Pretty simple. Got to have the sap flowing freely. Okay, I hope that'll be life-changing for you. I have here a letter that an older, seasoned minister wrote to a younger pastor. It doesn't matter what their names were, but I want you to hear what this older pastor in the Lord says to this younger servant of Christ. Here's what he says. He says, "Let me say that the Lord is gracious in that he deigns to bless any of us sinners in his work here on earth. And I rejoice in that, as I know you also do." The point here is a brotherly admonishment to be careful about getting lazy and sloppy in God's work. As you get older, and as the ministry becomes so comfortable that you can do it in your sleep, without the acute dependence on the Spirit that you once knew you had to beg for and have. John 15, 1-5. Let me read that again. It's a long sentence. The point here is a brotherly admonition to be careful about getting lazy and sloppy in God's work as you get older. And as the ministry becomes so comfortable that you can do it in your sleep, without the acute dependence on the Spirit that you once knew you had to beg for and that you had to have. John 15, 1-5. Have somebody who knows you well, keeping watch on you. And if and when you no longer have the will and the passion to fulfill John 15, 1-5 anymore, be fair to yourself and to your people and to your calling and resign. You are a good man in the Lord. Stay right, my brother, and fulfill your calling. What's this older pastor saying? Well, very simply, he's saying, look, when you're young and the ministry is a complete challenge from start to finish, you younger pastor, you know that you need to beg for and have the filling of the Spirit. But as you get older and more comfortable, you can begin to feel like you can do the ministry off the back of an envelope in your sleep. And you lose that passion to be filled with the Spirit and that sense of necessity, divine necessity, to be filled with the Spirit in order to get the work done. And you get sloppy. Don't let that happen to you. This is what he's saying to this young pastor. And if it does, if you get lazy and sloppy and you don't have the will anymore to seek the Spirit like that and get connected up with the Spirit like that, and you don't have the passion to do that anymore, well then, you need to get out of the ministry. It's not fair to the Lord, your people, or even your own calling to try to do the ministry without John chapter 15, verses 1-5, being predominant in your life and your ministry. You with me? Okay. I hope you'll take that to heart. I hope I'll take it to heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive us for the many times we go out either to do some ministry for you, or we just go out to be your representative in our world, and we don't get connected up to the sap. We don't clean the channel out by confession of sin so that it's free to flow in our lives. In fact, we don't even think in those terms anymore, sadly. Lord, forgive us for that. And inspire us to repent and to once again understand what we used to know when we were young and we didn't feel that confident. That without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. No sap, no fruit. That's it. So, Lord, change the way we live. Change the way we seek to reach out and do ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So good to have you with us today. And may God bless you. We'll see you, Lord willing, next week on Live with Lon.